Brachatad anai lahenu melech haolam asher kitshano b'misvata v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Passover is approaching, it's coming quickly, and it's a great time to remember that God is a God who delivers. He is the one who rescues us, and he sets us free. He's the God of freedom. Can you say that with me? He's the God of freedom. And Passover is the season of our freedom. As we celebrate Passover, we are remembering that we have a lamb whose blood was poured out for our benefit. The Passover lamb is a reminder to us. The blood of lambs was put on the doorposts of the houses of the children of Israel while they waited for deliverance, and it was a sign to God, this house belongs to me. And he stood guard and protected the children of Israel from the angel of death who came throughout the land to slay the firstborn. And in the same way, Yeshua is called the Passover lamb because his blood is also a sign for us. And it's a sign for us because we take the blood of Yeshua as an atoning sacrifice and a sacrifice of protection, a sacrifice of redemption. We take it for ourselves, and God recognizes that in the same way, and he said, this one belongs to me. And he desires that we would be redeemed. To be redeemed means to be purchased, to be paid for. When you're in slavery, someone buys you out of your slavery. That's the first act of redemption. And Yeshua is our redeemer because he bought us with the cost of his own life, out of the slavery to the power of sin and the power of death that were ruling over us. Yeshua came to give us good news. Can you agree with that? Not bad news, good news. And when we think about the ministry of Messiah and we think about Passover, it's so important to remember the good news. When you're in the midst of bad news, it speaks for itself. Isn't that true? Bad news is pretty mouthy. It will talk when you're trying to go to sleep, when you don't want to wake up because you don't want to hear what it has to say. It will try to wake you in the morning. When it's quiet, bad news will try to speak. When things are going fine, bad news wants to come and insult you, attack you, steal from you. And that's why it's so important for us to remember the good news of Messiah. And part of Passover is a reenactment that reminds us we were slaves. Can you say that? We were slaves, and now we're free. Say that with me. And now we're free. We don't just say we're free. We say we were slaves because we need to know what we came out of in order to know what we came into. If we don't know what we came out of, our freedom won't mean much to us, and we won't be able to stand in the day of difficulty. There was a certain time when Isaiah the prophet spoke the good news. I want you to look at it with me. It's Isaiah 61. And this week we're reading the second portion in Torah, Metzorah, about leprosy. Often, though, the two portions, Tazriah and Metzorah, are combined into one reading. But this year, they're separate weeks, and I think it must be because we need to give double attention to the subject. And I don't think it's because we have twice as many lepers as usual. It's because we need twice as much healing and twice as much freedom as usual. And the message about leprosy is really a message about God's intentions to bring healing and cleansing to his children, no matter what it takes. And so Isaiah puts it this way. It's Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, you can keep your finger there, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4. Verse 16, because this Haftorah portion, this reading, which is not part of this weekend, but it's an important connection to this weekend, This reading was one of Yeshua's favorites. We find that by looking in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom. I want you to say that with me. As was his custom. Yeshua had customs. You could say it another way, as was his habit. This is what he normally did. It's very interesting. He went to synagogue on the day, on Yom Shabbat. Yom Shabbat is today, it's Saturday. It's Erev Shabbat is Friday evening, Yom Shabbat is Saturday. And he stood up to read. Well, what do you read on Yom Shabbat? You read from Torah and the prophets and the writings, from Tanakh. This is what you read. We add to it Habrit HaChadashah, the writings of the New Covenant. But he stood up to read. You just saw our Torah, Haftorah, Habrit HaChadashah reading service. And so you can see something that is like what Yeshua participated in. There was one difference, though, I can tell you. His reading was better than ours. And one of the reasons for that is it was the native language there. So they were reading in their native language. We're reading generally in a second, third, fourth, fifth language. He went into the synagogue on Yom Shabbat. He stood up to read. He was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Your Bible might say he was handed the book. How many of you have that in your translation? It gives you the picture. He was handed a book. He wasn't handed a book. He was handed a scroll. So that means he had to find a place. They had to turn to it. You know, you don't just turn the page on a scroll. You have to roll it. You have to find it. He was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and when he'd opened the scroll, he found the place where it was written. Now, those scrolls were not written with chapter and verse numbers. So he wasn't looking for chapter 61, but he found it. Somehow he found it. And he read this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, when he was reading this and he came upon that word, he's anointed me. He was reading from the text, which uses the word Mashiach, which is a root word for Mashiach. Wherever you see in English anoint, it's related to the word for Messiah, because Mashiach means anointed one. Christos in Greek is the closest word to that. It means the one who's something was smeared on. Oil means the one who was poured on. But it was the closest one. And when the Jews were trying to translate the Hebrew text into the Greek during the writing of the Septuagint, they picked Christos as a substitute for Mashiach. So hundreds of years later, when the apostles are writing in Greek or in Hebrew, depending on which text, when they're writing in Greek, they also pick Christos because that is the common Greek word for Mashiach that the Jews use. And whenever you see Christos, you're supposed to think Mashiach, Jewish Messiah, because there's only one. It's not that every nation has its own Messiah. There's one Mashiach. It continues. And then he closed the scroll. He handed it back to the Gabbai, the attendant. He sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, I want you to understand what fulfill means. Fulfill does not mean terminated, nor does it mean concluded. And I want to show you why it can't mean that. Yeshua is speaking about the work of the anointed one. That's what Isaiah 61 is all about. And he is declaring that this work is now coming into fullness. Do you see that? He is not declaring that this work is over. He's not declaring that this work has now been concluded. So whenever you read the word fulfill, you've got to have the right understanding. It means to be brought into fullness. It does not mean ended. And that is why when it says that Yeshua fulfilled Torah, it does not mean he terminated Torah. Because if it means terminate, then this becomes nonsense. That he would say during a point that's going to be followed by much ministry, that he would say it's all over. The good news is all over. No, he's saying the good news is now coming into fullness. The good news is now here. The good news is present. This is good news. That's what he's saying. I want you to understand that and to retain it. Now let's go back to Isaiah 61. We'll look at the full text. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. And then I want you to look at the exchange. There are several details of exchange. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. That's a good deal. The oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, a spirit of heaviness. And the text does say ruach, a spirit of despair. Ask yourself this question. Do you like the deal? Do you like the trade? This for that. Okay, so let's say you've got ashes. You can turn them in today and get from Yeshua beauty. You've got mourning. You can trade that in for joy. You've got a spirit of despair. You can trade that in for a garment of praise. Now I want you to look at how the prophetic word moves. It says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I want you to remember who the they is. The they are the people who were poor, the ones who were in prison, the ones who were brokenhearted, the ones who were in despair. They're the ones who God uses. He renews people, and then he calls them by a new name. Now think of the most depressed person you know right now. The darkest person that you know. Think of what it's like to be with them. When you see people in that condition, it's easy to write them off and say, no one can help them. When God sees a person in that condition, he's thinking they could become an oak of righteousness. I could use that person. We see them in their failure or in their weakness or in their need. God sees them on the other side. That's what it means to be a redeemer. A redeemer sees the one who's enslaved as a free person and considers it worthwhile to pay the difference to get them free. It tells you something about God's attitude. What does God want? He wants to give you everything that he has in his kingdom, that he's been preserving for you. He wants to renew you. You know, there are some people who, I mean, they're just difficult. No matter how much you try to encourage them, they don't want to receive it. Some people call them EGRs. Do you know what that means? Extra grace required. And I think there are some people who are similar to what are called black holes. All energy goes into them and no light comes out of them. And when you're with them, it's like You're being sucked out. Some people just call them sponges. You know, they take out what you've got and they hold it. God looks at people who are in a condition like that and he sees what they can be. He looks at you and he sees what you can be. He looks at me and he sees what we can be. And he understands something. We all need to be renewed. We all need to be redeemed. Not one of us is an exception. Now, you might say, oh, you know what? I'm pretty good already. Just hang out with your critics for a while. They'll tell you. All of us fall short. Now, here's what Isaiah 61 also tells us. The work of renewal is given to those who are renewed. Who will do the work of renewing that's required on this earth? People who have been renewed. You see, sometimes we want to have a self-image where we get ourselves all spit-polished clean and we look good, and as far as everyone else is concerned, they look at us and they think we're just fine. But God is looking at us according to our history. What were we? What did we go through? And what do we become? And he understands something. You can't be given the ministry of renewal unless you've gone through it yourself. And so whatever trouble you're in, you can come out of. You don't have to be stuck. That's the message of Passover. Whatever difficulty you've gotten into, you can get out of. Whatever sin has encumbered you, trapped you, stained your life, you can be cleaned of it and brought out of it. Now, there is something that's required. You have to want that. You have to agree with it. If you don't, you may stay in the condition that you're in. When the leper came to Yeshua that one time, he said, if you're willing. But when we see Yeshua's commentary on lepers getting healed, he often says, it's their faith. You see, the two sides go together. God is willing, but what does our faith have to do with it? Our faith has to do with agreeing with God. Our faith is not the same thing as wishful thinking, because you can have wishful thinking, it won't get you anywhere. I know. Today I woke up and I wished I was 20 pounds lighter. It didn't help. And if I go to bed tonight with the same thought, it won't help me. How many of you have that same wish? Or even greater wishes than me? We wish for things that aren't granted according to wishfulness. They're granted according to faithful obedience. And when you begin to see yourself in the condition God wants to get you in, then you'll understand what are the steps of faithful obedience that are necessary for you. Because he will show you. I want you to see this. The ministry of renewal is entrusted to those who have already received renewal. God will use you in the troubles you're going through now in order to help bring other people in the future into renewal. It's not so that you can just get out of trouble. That would be good enough, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great if you were just out of the trouble you're in right now? Anybody in favor of being out of their own trouble? Yeah, I am. And if that's all we got, it'd be one thing, but it's better than that. God wants to bring you out of what's troubling you into a position where you can be a blessing to other people so they get out of it too. That's what it means to minister to other people and to serve other people. The ones who come out of trouble help other people. Renewal sometimes has to wait until a renewed person is ready. Let's go back to Isaiah 61 and look at those few verses. It says they'll be called oaks of righteousness. Can you imagine the most depressed person you know being called an oak of righteousness? It can happen. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Then look at the work they're given. They'll rebuild the ancient ruins. They'll restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Several families have recently or are about to move into Springfield, which is not a ruin like this is talking about, but it's an area that needs to be renewed. And God is using those families for his purposes. You see, God will use people who are being renewed to bring renewal to areas that need renewal. It's interesting. Who's going to renew the ruined cities, according to Isaiah? Government? No. No, us. Us. People have a heart for renewal. Who's going to renew all the folks who have given up hope? God working through you, working with you. When God brings you out of hopelessness, you can bring others out of hopelessness too. As long as you're stuck in it, you won't be able to bring others out of it. But when you come out of it, you'll be able to make a difference. Years ago, Sandy and I moved up to Rochester, New York, and the first time I said y'all during a sermon, people just broke out laughing. I didn't really feel at home for that moment. They were more comfortable with you guys or you guys. And when they said you guys, I started laughing. I couldn't help myself. But just to amuse myself, one Saturday night, I called up 20 people from the congregation up there, and I said, I'm doing a survey. Can you tell me where smack dab is? And everybody knows it's in the middle, right? However, not up there. First person says, I believe it's in the center. And I thought, close but no cigar. Other people said, is that in Ohio? And it was just my way of like making myself amused. I can't explain that kind of twisted thinking. But we know smack dab is in the middle, right? And God will put you smack dab in the middle of a situation that you can make a difference in. Years ago, I was complaining to the Lord, why do you give me so many broken people? And he said, you wanted to be a restorer of streets with dwellings, restore the breach. I've got to give you what's broken to work with. And at that moment, I stopped complaining because Isaiah 58, where that scripture is found, was my favorite. I just didn't understand what it really meant. I didn't understand the material I was going to be working with. I saw it on the other side, restorer of all these things. Who knew how dirty our hands would have to get working in such situations? Well, here's the news. Messiah is looking for broken situations, broken people, so that he can fix us in a way only he can do it. And then he can use us to help bring his fix, his repair, what we call in Hebrew, tikkun, the repair of the world that we're living in. And you see that cities sometimes have to wait for generations. Why do they have to wait that long? Because renewed people aren't available yet. So I want to encourage you during this Passover season, as we're getting ready and then as we participate in Passover, use it as a time of renewal. And I'll tell you why. As you get renewed, God will bring you into contact with people who need what you've been through. And your positive experience can help other people come through it too. John 13, verse 34 is the last verse we're going to look at today. It's a Passover verse. Yeshua says, a new commandment I give to you. A new one. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say, well, we're finished with that stuff. I'm glad that's over with. He says, a new one I give to you, that you love one another. Well, that's not new. What's new is the next part. even as I have loved you. Now, a lot of us measure ourselves and our performance by comparing who we are to some person who's not as good as we are. And then we say, well, I'm better than they are, so I'm good enough. Yeshua says, if you're going to do a comparison, if you want to know what the gold standard is, it's him. When you measure yourself against him, you'll find yourself in need of help, great help. And then you'll find that the mercy that he shows you will empower you to be merciful to other people who need the same kind of help. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. If you prophesy but you don't have love, you know what you are? A gong. If you give humanitarian aid that represents all of your wealth and you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. In the kingdom of God, everything we do has to be mixed with love, and love requires concern for people. It requires compassion and mercy for people, not judging them according to the trouble that they're in, but seeing them as people who God values and wants to bring out of that trouble using you. Every time we help someone else in need, we're showing the love of God. Yeshua says, when you want to know the secret of evangelism, pay attention to this, verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The love that we show each other is the key for proclaiming good news throughout the world. Every time we give charity, every time we contribute to the needs of others, every time we serve the Lord in this way, and we're taking notice of people and we want God's mercy, we are taking steps to fulfill what God speaks to us. When we serve God by making ourselves available to him this way, and we serve him by sharing our resources in this way, we are also being used by God to be the answer to people's prayers when people are in need and they say, Lord, help me. You know what he usually does? He finds someone he can send to bring help. Sometimes he just does it directly, and we're always grateful for that. But usually, if you need finances, God's going to use someone who has finances. It's not just going to be that it materializes. When it just materializes, we say hallelujah. God hears us. And it's his intention that we would know his love for us. And so I want to encourage you, as you're getting ready for Passover, I want to encourage you to make yourselves available to be instruments of renewal for other people. Take notice of how God has brought you out of situations, and then ask God to bring you people who are in those same kinds of situations, that you could be an instrument of mercy to them, that you could bring good news to them. It's easy to find opportunities for this. All you have to do is ask around and see who's got bad news, and then make yourself available to serve God and to serve them. That's my hope for you and my prayer for you. Lord, I thank you that you bring good news to us through Messiah Yeshua. I thank you for his death, his burial, his resurrection, for his victory over the power of sin and death. Thank you that he's the Passover lamb and he's the Yom Kippur sacrifice. And he has redeemed us, he's purchased us, and he's atoned for us through the blood of Messiah. Thank you for that. And thank you for renewing us, for making us new creations, giving us new minds, new hearts, renewing our souls, renewing our spirits. Thank you for the exchange that you give to us. Thank you for calling us into the kingdom of your beloved Son and out of the terrible kingdom of darkness. We say, Lord, would you use us in these days? And would you give us even more freedom and more cleansing in the days to come, that we could be used more greatly in this season ahead? We ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? You don't have to stand alone. If you are alone, you can move, or someone will move towards you. But if they don't, you can move. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace, his peace, in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Amen. You guys did a great job.